clean, but empty. And this will be my closing sermon on the series of the Holy Spirit, at least for now. The Holy Spirit is an inexhaustible subject, so you can always come back to it. But this will complete this segment. Let's pray. We are grateful, Lord, that your presence is guaranteed with us when we come for worship. Well, we have come. And your presence is here through your Holy Spirit now. Say things to us that we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us go, gentlemen, to that statement that has been the beginning of these sermons. You see it? Some of you maybe by now have memorized sections of it. But let's read it together. The promised blessing, claimed by faith, brings all others in its train. It is given according to the riches of the grace of Christ, and he is ready to supply every soul according to the capacity to receive. I hope maybe you've taken the time to look this up in the book Gospel Workers and to claim it for yourself, because this statement really hits the essence. Really hits the essence. Continue. If all were willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. That's the most troubling statement in the statement. That's the most troubling sentence in the statement. Again, if all were willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. It is an indictment. If you're not filled, you're not, don't be afraid to say it. If you're not filled, you're not, yeah. Continue. Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter of little thought of, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension and death. That's serious stuff. That's serious stuff. Read on. Whenever, what kind of matters? Occupy the attention, the divine power, which is necessary for the growth of the church and the prosperity of the church. And there it is, the statement again, which would bring what? All blessings in its train is lacking. So we're talking about something that's available but not used. We're talking about a person whose refrigerator is full of food and they are hungry. And so we have learned that there are three that bear record in heaven. We've learned that the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Son. The Son is a gift from the Father. We've learned that the Holy Spirit has been active throughout human history, going back even to creation. We've learned that the Holy Spirit is a gift that must be valued. We've learned that. We've learned that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, one like the Son. One of the same kind as the Son. We've learned that the Holy Spirit, oh, thank you, Jesus, even sticks with us when we go astray. That's a pitiful amen, y'all. Come on. Holy Ghost is just right there. Even trying to be calm about this thing, even when you're at your worst. Holy Spirit is at your fingertips. Could somebody say amen? Hallelujah. We've learned that the Holy Spirit helps us, Brother Kalis, to understand ourselves. Not just God, but ourselves. We learned in a serious sermon that the Holy Spirit has feelings and the Holy Spirit can be offended. You can insult the Holy Ghost. And then we learned last week that the sin against the Holy Ghost is any sin which you refuse to both confess and forsake. In other words, you got to do more than say, I'm sorry. You got to stop doing it. Yeah. Let me just touch for a few minutes on this issue of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because this parable I'm going to preach on is God's answer to this problem. The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, reading from the commentary, or the unpardonable sin, consists of progressive resistance. What kind of resistance? This tug of war. Now, let me just get in your business a minute and say that some of us sitting here have been committing some sins for a long time. I'm satisfied there was no strong amen. There's a time to be quiet. Yeah, some are sitting here, and there's a sin you've been committing for years. Now, we should be thankful that the Holy Spirit is not thin-skinned. He tarries a long time. Are you glad about it? So it's progressive resistance to truth that culminates in a final, irrevocable decision against the Holy Spirit, deliberately made in the full knowledge that by doing so, one is choosing his own course of action in opposition to divine will. It takes a long time to get there. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful today that the Lord just keeps bothering. I'll say it again. I said it in another sermon. Let me say it again, Pastor Daniels. I thank God for guilt and for shame. Come on, somebody. Yeah. The Lord doesn't just sit back and sit quiet. He disturbs me when I mess up. Thank you, Jesus. You driving home from that wrong house, you deserve to feel like lightning bolts are going to come from heaven. Yes. You sitting there in that club with that glass of beer, you deserve to feel like you're getting ready to vomit. Thank God. That's the love of God made manifest. I wish somebody would say amen. There are nights you ought to get on your knees and thank God that you feel bad about that day. Thank you, Lord, for disturbing my spirit. Thank you, Lord, for giving me no peace. Because he's trying to keep you from that point, Sister Keita, where you reach that irrevocable, that means the decision can't be changed. God finally says, they want that more than they want me. Leave them. And of course, you know, once the Spirit leaves, then you can't pray. Because the Spirit interprets prayers. But for the nervous person, we read this. A person troubled with a haunting fear that he has committed the unpardonable sin has not committed it, or you wouldn't be troubled. Now, if you got sense, everybody ought to give God a hand. Thank God. Thank God. So if you're worried about it, you fine. If you're sitting there calm, now we need to have a discussion. But if you're worried about if this part of the sermon has got you upset, you have not committed the sin. The Holy Ghost, the devil is not going to trouble you about leaving God. But the Holy Spirit will trouble you. So that troubled feeling is peace. Somebody say, I got peace. Yeah. Now, and I'm taking my time purposely. In our previous sermon on the Holy Spirit, we learned that the Holy Spirit, as well as the Father and the Son, are love, love. God always deals with us out of love. It's the deepest emotion known. They love deeply. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they love eternally, but this love does not remove them from being just and real. So when any or all of the Holy Spirit, or all of the Holy Three, sense that their love is totally rejected, they allow the fruits of that to occur, which can be separation from God. And so, Jesus speaking about it, go to our chapter, Matthew 12, brings up this disturbing subject. Now, We took time to break down chapter 12 of Matthew, verses 1 through 8. We said Jesus declares himself as the Lord of the Sabbath, verses 9 through 14. Jesus drives home his point by healing this man who had the withered hand. And then in verses 15 through 21, Jesus declares himself to be the servant on whom the Spirit rests. Verses 22 to 30, Jesus demonstrates the power of the Spirit of God by healing a demon-possessed man. Hold that one. That's in today's sermon. He heals this demon-possessed man. And that's when they accuse him of doing God's work with devil's power. And that's when Jesus gets upset and tells him about the sin against the Holy Spirit. Verses 33 to 37, we're known by our fruit, the actions of our life. And then they try to throw Jesus off by talking about an adulterous generation that needs a sign. He pays no attention to that, and he tells this story. Now let's look at this story. It's a parable about a man who has a demon. The demon leaves, and the man's house is left empty. The Bible goes further and says, swept clean. So he's clean, but come on, y'all. He's clean, but that's the sermon title. Let's try it again. He's clean, but empty. Well, the devil wanders around, and the devil in the desert place. It's a very strange story. Comes back and sees that the house is still clean, but you're getting into it with me now. He goes and rounds up six other fellows, and they move back in. And then Jesus, David, ends this parable with the cryptic statement. Now, his last condition is worse than the first. Now, Charlene, there's a man out there in the audience who has just had a demon cast out. I love it when you do that. That means you're listening to me. I just passed you. You're so excited. I mean, your brains are thinking. Yeah, see, this parable is always preached separate from the context. There's a man. So if there's anybody in the congregation now who perks up, who is it? That brother who just got the devil cast out. Because he's clean, but he also is speaking to these Pharisees and scribes, card-carrying certified hypocrites. I mean, they're registered downtown. And he has reached a point where he's weary of their pretense of righteousness. Now, stay with the pastor. Stay with me. This is very important. This whole issue is the need of being filled. The Christian has to be more than clean. Am I preaching to myself now? The Christian must be more than clean. He must be filled. See, let's take the parable. I'm not going to preach long. Let's take the parable and Morris, let's really apply it to us. The beginning of the parable pictures a person who's been living in sin, demon-possessed, doing what they want the way they want. And then the Bible says the demon leaves. So in understanding the parable, this is announcing a point where you found Christ. Yeah, you got tired of that one devil whipping you to death, making a fool out of you. So you hear a sermon from Pastor Wright. I put myself in this sermon. Yeah. Hear one of Pastor Wright's sermons online. And you fall to your knees in front of the TV and accept Christ as Savior. Devil cuts out. And you start cleaning. Give up the cigarettes, come on. Give up the beer, come on. Give up the carousing, am I right about it? Give up spending God's tithe. You clean, I mean, you clean. You see, there's one thing I like about the Adventist faith. It teaches you to be clean. In fact, most of us have a long list of things we don't do anymore. I get so weary of Seventh-day Adventists always talking about, we don't go to shows, we don't do this, we don't do... Well, what do you do? If I'm a Baptist listening to you, I'm saying, well, I know what you don't do. You don't do nothing. What do you do? Hey, hey, hey! Being a Christian must be more than giving up sin. It must be taking on Jesus. And too many people are great at giving stuff up. You see, if you just give stuff up, Brother Pierman, you're no better than the Pharisees. They gave everything up. They were morose, sad, tongue, long-faced. They just, the Sabbath, they didn't smile. Pharisee, he would not smile. Can you imagine that? You don't go all day long and not smile. And it's the Sabbath, celebrating the goodness of God, kept you alive, gave you food, put clothes on your back, kept gas in your car, and you can't even smile and give God praise and thanks for his goodness. That's the way the Pharisees operated. And so everybody knew what the Pharisees did not do. They cleaned. But you see, the reason why the truth cleans you up is so that God can fill you up. Let me say it better. The reason why the gospel cleans you out is so the Spirit can fill you up. That's the part, Mike, of our religious experience in the church that is missing. We don't eat pork. Some of us don't eat meat. Some of us don't drink pop. We don't drink Coke. Some of us now. Some of us. I ain't dumb, some of us. We don't wear this, we don't wear that. We have a long list. And the thing about it is, folks, that list has become a badge. And often that list, that badge, produces meanness, unkindness, criticism, backbiting. So being clean is not enough. Come on, y'all. You got to be more than clean. You got to be filled. Are you listening to me? And being filled is the work of a lifetime, because the Spirit must move in. And really, you're really not safe until the cleaning is done by Him. Because any cleaning you do is going to be incomplete. You're going to clean the surface stuff. But I got a Savior who sends the Holy Ghost, who's like Clorox. He gets all up in the corners and the cracks of my life. He does not stop cleaning till everything is gone. See, there's Henry Wright's cleaning, and then there's Zoe Wright's cleaning. Zoe's my mother. My assignment was to clean the bedrooms. Folk, I was pitiful when I was growing up. Clean the bedrooms. And I would find, I was God forgive me, but He loves me. I would find, you know, sweeping dirt, you know, just, you know, there's a nice carpet there. Get that dirt up under that carpet. Bam! Bam! You know, because she's coming home, so we got home at 3:30 from school. Mom's coming in at 5. Mom's coming in at 5. And Marley, see, when she checks behind, I don't know why I was so dumb. She checks. She's the first thing she's gonna do is pull up the carpet. She's gonna take that finger, go to the window sill. Sometimes she would ask me, "Is the room clean? Cleaned up, Mom?" She would go, mm-hmm. See, there's our clean. There's His clean. Hey! And God is not fooling around. He knows, is He going to stand on streets of gold? Wear robes of white. Put on a crown on your head. If you're going to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, you got to be straight. And you got to be straight here. So the man, he cleans, but he's empty. Now, the story, the parable gets very troublesome. Then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits. Now, the Greek translation implies that this devil has actually made several trips. See, once you join the church, you're going to Sabbath school. You know, going to Sabbath school, getting filled. Revival. You know, the early days you join the church, you don't miss nothing. You remember those days. Now you barely come on a high day, but you remember them days. Them days when you didn't miss nothing. Prayer meeting right there. Week of prayer right there. Sabbath school right there. You know, I don't know what gives us the idea that you can reach some point in your Christian experience where you can relax. Because the devil is always checking back. Does anybody know what the pastor's talking about? He's always checking back to see if you've gotten filled yet. Now, the thing, Amber, that troubles me about this parable is when that devil came back and knocked on the door, oddly, somebody should have answered it. Hey! Should not have been me. Is anybody following the story? Yeah, when he opened the door, there should have been Jesus looking him in the eye saying, "This is occupied." Ah! Filled! But he's been checking back. The devil, Latara, never lets you alone. Even when you have days of peace, even when it seems like nothing's going on, somebody get this child. Thank you so much. Yeah. Even when he's got it, daddy's got it now. She's in good hands. Don't worry about it now. Now, if he knows what I know, he's going to take her out. See, that's you know, when I was reared, you know, it's one thing. You did not want mom to take you out. You wanted that thing to be settled in the pew where the saints could watch, you know, because she wasn't going to hit you, but so hard. But if mom takes you out, Lord have mercy. Come back in straight as an arrow. Wouldn't sin for at least 5 days. So when the devil comes,
He ought to meet somebody. He ought to see somebody. The problem is some of us have we think because we have accomplished a few religious victories and accomplished a few religious things, we think we are filled. But the devil has the same keen eye that God does. And when he peeps in your life, hey, listen to this preacher, when he peeps in your life and sees stuff that he can hook into, Davy, sees things he can still play with, he comes in. But I actually wish the parable had ended there. He says, oh, they ain't never going to be filled. This is a place I can enjoy. Are you a life that Satan enjoys? Are you a playground for the enemy of your soul, for the enemy of your soul? Have you become so comfortable with your present religious state and progress that you see no need to keep cleaning? You see, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. So Jesus wants the living room, the bedroom, come on, y'all, the bathrooms. He wants the attic, hey, and the basement, and then he wants all the closets. If there is in your life still some space not owned by God, the devil's checking. You see, spirituality will sustain no vacuum, either filled by him or filled by him. Closing part of the sermon. There's an aspect of this that is also implied. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits. Now, watch me, Cecil. I believe that when the devil came and looked and saw he was not filled and left, that's the time of probation for this soul. And in my preacher's imagination, I hear the Holy Ghost saying to this man, hey, you need me. I want to fill you. And I hear an anxiousness in the voice of the Holy Spirit because he knows the devil is coming back. I hear him cry out, Henry, let me in. Somebody sitting here is in that stage right now. God is declaring the devil's on his way back. You've not been filled with me. And he's calling somebody's name. Let me in. The devil is about to take you. And we keep playing. And we keep waiting. And we keep putting off. And we keep excusing. And we keep rationalizing. And God, who knows all things, sees the enemy coming back with his six buddies. Henry, Henry, please let me in. He knows he's the only one that can keep him out. How dare you play with your life like that? How dare? The truth cleaned you up. The truth cleared you out. But you didn't take the next step. You never did. You never did. You never allowed yourself to be consumed and filled by the Holy Spirit. Never. And so there's a tense time in the text. There's an unannounced but obvious tense time. Satan has come. He sees you not filled. He's coming back. Jesus is there. Your friend, your spirit. I told you the spirit never leaves you when you're in trouble. And he's now working on somebody right now saying, you ought to let me in because the last state is going to be worse than the first. Who is there among you today who has not read 1 Peter 5:8? For Satan is a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. Are you listening to me, church? There is no spiritual vacuum. You're going to be filled by somebody. It's time for everybody in this church to decide. They will be filled only by the Spirit of God. Listen and pray. Conscious right now, there's too much empty space in your life. Portions of you have never been filled. You're having a sober moment. And you would like for me to pray for you. Not confessing what it is, you just want me to pray for you. You can stand. Been listening and thinking about these sermons online, in the pew. And you've been thinking about becoming a part of this church. Come by letter, you can come by profession of faith, you can come by baptism, you can come and just say, I need to study more. you believe the day you have the courage to move from where you are and come down front. While the congregation prays, if you could just move out from where you are and come down front. And Anwar, give me another verse and chorus of the song. If you're here and you need to come, please come.
I am not worthy the least of his favor, but in the beloved I stand. Now I'm an heir.
Just pray, church, but if you need to get up and come down, if you need to move where you are and come down, just don't make it a big deal this time. Just come. Respond. And the Spirit knows that you're not filled. Today you need to do something special. Just come.
I am not worthy this dull tongue repeats it. I am not worthy.
Going to prolong this appeal, because if you know you should come, you should have come. It's as simple as that. I rejoice today in the patience of Jesus. I rejoice in the fact that he fills me at my pace, not his. Did you hear what I just said? He's anxious, but he's not pushy. He's powerful, but he's not overwhelming. If I want to keep a closet closed, he'll walk by it. He knows what's in there. But he wants me to open it. Are you listening to me, saints? Are you sure there's somebody else who should not come down here today and sit next to this young lady who has come? Are you sure that you want to just walk out, not respond? Father, I thank you I learned something today, Lord, and that is clean is good, but filled is better. I'm reaching for filled. I did the list a few years ago. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. I got that part. But too many times, like the scribes and Pharisees, I'm operating on Henry strength, not Holy Ghost power. Filled. Jesus, filled. Filled. Lord, may somebody go home today and fall to their knees and cry out to God, fill me. Thank you. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Please be seated.